National Review. That's the other big story today. Well, besides snow. Besides snow. I love when people get blasted with the snow and it's like a complete freak out. It's a complete freak out. That's what I love. It's a freak out. It's a complete and total freak out. Complete and total freak out. So, the National Review put out a magazine today. Well, they have a magazine that they publish. I don't know who the hell reads it. I mean, nobody reads magazines anymore. Okay? When nudie mags stop publishing, it really means nobody is looking at magazines. The only time people look at magazines is when they're flying. And even that's going away, especially with the airlines like Virgin, who give you the whole DirecTV experience, and that's coach. Used to be all that cool stuff was first class. Not the Virgin. Could be in the back of the plane, and guess what? You got a TV. Back of the plane, you're watching. It's amazing. I came back from Texas, last month? I went to Texas for whenever Christmas was. I'm watching TV. I'm watching the football. 3-hour flight. Before I knew it, I'm getting ready to land, and I'm like, oh, man, I wish we were up here longer. I got to finish this game. So the only place people read anything like that is airports, doctor's offices. And even then, nowadays, everybody's got their smartphones. You're reading articles online. Penthouse stopped publishing. Hustler. Playboy. Nothing. Nobody wants nudie mags. So, I mean, who the hell wants the National Review? But, anyways. National Review is a Republicans magazine. Republicans magazine. It's like you are diehard. You are just, I am just bloody. I mean, you're, that's it. That's it. So they put out a manifesto, I guess is what they're calling it. It's a manifesto. It's a manifesto. And Donald Trump presidency and why he is bad, why he is not conservative, why he is not a Republican, why he is just an evil, horrible person. And these are the reasons and please don't vote for him. Actually, we beg you not to vote for him. If you want to be a real Republican, a true Republican, and stay a Republican, you will not vote for Trump. So that's the National Review. That's the National Review. And it's got, oh, God, I'm trying to remember who's on that, the list. I mean, you know, they're touting this list as if it's the who's who. As if it's the who's who. Those of you who listen to us live, I'm going to lose you very soon. Thank you for being here. You guys check us out Monday. All right. Those of you who are with us now. Okay. Those of you who are still with us now. And hopefully it's recording and you can listen to the rest of this show later. All right. And so you have people like William Crystal. God, let's see, who else? Rich Lowry. Again, I mean, you know, who are these people in the Republican Party? They are a big deal. Although the influence that they possess, I don't know. You tell me. Who have they backed? Who have they pushed? Who have they supported? Who have they gone out there and campaigned for? And won. Again, I'm not talking about your a local legislature. I'm talking about a presidential election. It's kind of like Karl Rove when he comes out and screams and yells about Trump and what has to be done to win. And you're just sitting there going, well, listen, who have you backed that has won? You Bush, that's it. So you hear Eric Erickson, Crystal, Lowry, Cal Thomas. Seriously, Cal Thomas. Cal Thomas. Lowry. Again, you know. And imagine. This National Review, they're scheduled to co-sponsor a Republican debate in February with CNN. How's this going to play? It's. I'm telling you, it's amazing. It really is amazing. You can put Sarah Palin down all you want. And there's, hey, there's some things that, okay. All right. I would agree with you. I would agree. I would agree. There is some bad things with Sarah Palin. I'll agree. But one of the things that she is spot on with, I mean spot on with, is Democrats would never, ever, ever do what the Republicans are doing. as far as the handling of a candidate. And what do I mean by that? Is MSNBC, CNN, union leaders, the Facebooks, the YouTubes, the comedy shows, rather it's Fallon or Kimmel. I mean, the list goes on. The list goes on. Democrats would never, they would never create a campaign to destroy their front runner. It would never, ever happen. Would never happen. It would never, ever happen. Sure, you might see favoritism. You might see some favoritism, but you would never, ever, ever hear a Democrat go on CNN or MSNBC or wherever, or a network or magazines or websites where their sole mission was not to just convince you to either vote for Hillary or vote for Bernie, but the sole mission was to destroy Bernie and destroy Hillary. The Democrats would never do that. Ever. But the Republicans? It never in the history has this been done. Never in the history has this been done. And regardless of the things that you might not like about Trump, you can't deny the enthusiasm. You cannot deny the excitement. You cannot deny the crowds. And that means something. That means something. Now, yes, in 10 days, we're all going to know. We're all going to know. Are all these polls wrong? We're all going to know. And I'm not saying, oh, if he loses Iowa, then the polls are wrong. No. Because in theory, Donald Trump winning Iowa was really never on the table. When you look at the history of Iowa, Huckabee, Santorum, Cruz, it fits that mold. Not a billionaire from New York. But if those numbers match up with what the polling data has been showing, then it's real. In New Hampshire, if those numbers match up, then it's real. And what I mean by that, say Iowa, Trump loses by 20 points, gets hammered, then the numbers are wrong. All these people are just coming out to see a great show. If New Hampshire rolls around and Trump gets hammered and people go, look who voted for him, and compare that to the turnout at rallies. People are just coming for a show. But if all these numbers match up and everything falls in line, Republicans haven't had a candidate like this since Ronald Reagan. And for the establishment, that's what's funny about the whole Cruz-Levin attack. Well, Donald Trump's establishment, Donald Trump's establishment, Donald Trump's establishment. What? You have the establishment's magazine du jour. The National Review, dedicating an entire issue to telling Republicans, telling conservatives that Trump is not one of them. He's a wolf in liberal sheep's clothing. He's an establishment. Donald Trump is an establishment. Mark LeVay, he donates, he's establishment. And here's the National Review. He's not an establishment. He's not. He's not. He is garbage. He's not one of us. Kind of makes the Ted Cruz, Mark LeVin argument kind of silly. Kind of shows that Mark Levin and Ted Cruz are all over the map and not knowing how to deal with Donald Trump. He's establishment. He's not establishment. He's a real liberal, just disguising as a conservative. They're just all over the place. But for the Republican Party to do what they're doing, it's just unheard of. It really is. It's unheard of. They got somebody that they always wanted, a rock star. You've heard that term. Bill Clinton, he was a rock star. Republicans always said, oh, we just need a Bill Clinton. We need our own Bill Clinton. We need a Bill Clinton. We need a Bill Clinton. We need a rock star. And then they get George Bush. He's not a rock star. He's more like a opening act. An opening act to a rock star. But there was still some excitement. There was still that, you know, hey, we're going to get away. We got my boots, got my way. Had the drunk driving, the cocaine. So people are like, oh, you know, he's kind of a cowboy. He's kind of wild. He's kind of Steely Dan. He's no U2. He's no Metallica. It's like Steely Dan. Maybe Asia. Triumph. 38 Special. And Democrats were like, oh, man. It's John Kerry. We need to go back to our rock. We need a rock star. We need a rock star. Where's our rock star? Where's our rock star? Where's our... And then, boom, here comes Obama. Rock star, rap star. Woo, we got our own Jay-Z, Kanye West. Woo. And Republicans back to, we need a rock star. We are close. We had Steely Dan. We need a rock star. We are so doomed. What about these guys? Who? Oh, that guy, Rick Perry, he's not a rock star. How about Michelle Bachmann, not a rock star. Oh, what about Rand Paul? Oh, yeah, he's not. He's kind of just Charlie Daniels Band. He's just bleh. Crying rock star. We need a rock star. They had a glimpse of a diva rock star, but they mishandled her. Believe it or not, John McCain would have lost even bigger than he did if he did not have Sarah Palin. If there was no Sarah Palin and John McCain trotted out his boyfriend, Lindsey Graham, they would have lost bigger than he lost with Palin. Palin brought that excitement. People went, hey, I'm going to go see the McCain and Palin. I want to see her. I don't care about Grandpa Al Lewis. I want to see her. But they didn't prepare her enough. They fumbled the ball. It was horrible. It was horrible. So they went back to, oh, we need a rock star. And here we are. Here we are, 2016. Republicans got their rock star in the form of Donald J. Trump. The rock star. A little wild, a little unpredictable. Your typical over-the-top rock star. And instead of saying, okay, how do we harness this rock star so that he doesn't OD, so he doesn't kill himself by jumping into the crowd and cracking his head open? How do we pace him so he doesn't get heat exhaustion or whatever the hell the rock stars get because they're touring too much? I don't know. How do we harness this rock star so we can keep selling out stadiums and he doesn't become Axl Rose or Scott Weiland or Elvis Presley or Jimi Hendrix or Janis Joplin? No. Instead, Republicans are saying, we don't want this rock star. We're just going to go to the guy that plays the washboard. Yeah, but you have no chance of winning with, yeah, I know, but we just can't. We just can't. Oh, we just can't. Imagine that. Republicans finally get the guy. They finally get the guy. And when you hear them talk about Reagan, they act as if Reagan was never a liberal. They act like Reagan was always this conservative. It's wild. And their excuse or their reasoning as to why Reagan's conversion is different than Trump's conversion. Well, Reagan converted and had 50 years of being a Republican under his belt. Donald Trump just converted 5-6 years ago. It's obvious he's doing it because he's running for president. And it's funny because, you know, the statement's not that accurate because you really got to put together the timeline circumstances and where we were as a society. If you would have plopped Ronald Reagan in today's society and made him have his career in today's society, you would see a very similar conversion. Remember, we're talking about Ronald Reagan and his liberalism and the conversion to being a conservative. And let's face it, that was all from Nancy Reagan. Nancy Reagan said, hey, my family has juice. My family has power. But here's the problem, Ron.
What?
It's Republican power. It's Republican juice. You need to convert.
Okay. Plain and simple.
Plain and simple. Talking about the 40s, 50s, 60s. Different time, different place. I mean, just look at the world when Reagan governed. In the 70s and 80s. Completely, completely different than where we are today. You even hear people that are close to Reagan or were close to Reagan.
He's dead.
Duh. Who question how conservative he would be today as far as Republicans are concerned. Would the Republicans of today accept Ronald Reagan of the 70s and 80s? So this hatred for Trump is really bizarre. It's really bizarre because he gives them everything. Everything that they ever wanted since Ronald Reagan. And what he has, Cruz doesn't have. Jeb doesn't have. And the only way you're going to win the White House is to have what Trump has. Plain and simple. You can look at the negatives. Oh, well, amongst this group, he's upside down. And amongst this group, he's upside down. And amongst that group, he's upside down. Well, remember, we are here. We are here. A lot changes from the primaries to the general election. A lot changes. It is now not about debating 12 other people, 13 other people on a stage and seeing who can outdo each other. Oh, well, I'll build a wall. Yeah, well, I'll build a wall bigger. Well, I'll build a wall longer. Remember Scott Walker? Well, I'll build a wall not just on Mexico, but I'll build the wall over in Canada to keep Ted Cruz out. Remember that? Once you get out of the primary season and it's just mano a mano, it's a totally different game. Once you have 4 months of either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, anything that Trump is upside down on is going to get reversed, just like when Trump started, he was upside down with Republican voters. He had huge unfavorable ratings, huge. And then slowly but surely, those unfavorable ratings became positive. Slowly but surely. Slowly but surely. Slowly but surely. And the same thing will happen in the general election, because now it's not Trump on stage with 10 other people, 12 other people arguing with each other. Now it's Trump going to Ohio, going to Florida, going to Pennsylvania, not just having rallies. Having town hall meetings, having one-on-ones. A lot of things change in the general. A lot of things change when the American people go, okay, it's him or her, or him and him. Okay. Well, I don't really like him because of A, B, C, and D. But, hey, I'll listen. And before you know it, those positives go up, 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 up. And what does the Republican establishment do? They go out to destroy Donald Trump. Their only shot at winning the White House. Their only shot at winning the White House. And because the National Review and Crystal and Charles Cook don't like Trump, has nothing to do with, oh, he's not conservative enough. He's not a real Republican. Please, please. It's because Trump is not one of them. And it has nothing to do with the conservative, has nothing to do with the Republican. It's them. Trump is always the outsider. He's always the rich outsider that they all were friends with because he gave them stuff. He gave them stuff, money, golf, hotels, whatever. But he wasn't one of them. He wasn't an intellectual like them. He wasn't part of their club. He wasn't part of their group. It's like high school. You all remember high school? There were certain cliques. There was like the cool clique. I'm not even talking about the preppy kids. I'm talking about like the cool clique. There was always a group of kids that were cool, and they all had history. Maybe some of them went to grammar school together. Maybe some of them had brothers and sisters that were friends with each other. And that's how they met. But there was something there. There was something there that bonded these 10, these 15, these 20 people together. And everybody liked them. Everybody wanted to be like them. Everybody wanted to be part of their group. And there was no real requirement per se to get into that group. But those 20 people had to agree to let whoever into that circle. And if they didn't, you were out. Now, they might be friends with you. They might say hello to you. They might use you if you have something that they want. But that's it. You'll never be part of that group. And we all went through it. And that's what the Republican Party is like. Big, giant, mean girls club. And Donald Trump is that outsider. Has nothing to do with conservatism, has nothing to do with Republicanism. He's just not part of them. He didn't grow up with them. He didn't go to Yale. He didn't go to Princeton. He wasn't in oil. All of the things that bind so many of these people. And Donald Trump has always wanted to be them, whether it was Democrats or Republicans. He always wanted to be part of the political world. He's been talking about running for office since the 80s. People have come to him about running for office. He's cultivated relationships with politicians for that day when he decided to run. He would have the support because he cultivated the Mean Girls Club for all these years. And that day has finally come, and guess what? Mean Girls Club says, you're not part of us. And he went, well, wait a minute. I've been friends with all of you. I've given all of you money. I've done all these things for you. I thought I've always was part. You're not part of us. We used you. We used you for your money. We used you for your golf. We used you for the cool things that you could give us. But we will never let you be part of us. We will never let you in. You will never sit with us at this lunch table. You will never go with us to our house parties. You will never go with us in our family's house in the Hamptons. You will never, ever be accepted. Ever. We're all going to the same college. You're not going. You're not welcome. That's what it's all about. Charles Cook. Guy's an MSNBC shill. He is the SE Cup for MSNBC, like SE Cup is for CNN. Crystal is a CNN Republican shill. And Ted Cruz and Mark Levin want to tell everybody, Donald Trump is part of the establishment. Really? Really? That's what everybody's trying to concoct? We'll wheel out Bob Dole? We'll wheel out Bob Dole like Weekend at Bernie's? Glue his eyes open, put some strings on his hands, and have him go, I hate Ted Cruz. Donald Trump is better. Look, see, establishment, he's establishment. You get Trent Lott to say so, establishment, see? Yeah. And then the Republicans' Bible. I mean, let's face it. The National Review has been the Republicans' de facto Bible. They're like the Fox News of magazines. Republicans went, you know, you got Newsweek, you got the Time, you got the People, you got all these magazines, and it's all a liberal position. It's all liberal bias. We need to, okay, National Review. Oh, yay! Yay! The Republican publication that devoted an entire issue of saying Donald Trump is Satan. He is a beast incarnate. He is the devil. Charles Cook. Crystal. The whole group. Erickson. These are all the establishment, ladies and gentlemen. These are all the establishment. Don't let people try to position this word establishment as something that it isn't. Establishment means somebody who's been there. That's it. That's it. Rather you've been there for a day or you've been there for a year. That's what it is. Ted Cruz is the establishment. Okay? Ted Cruz is the establishment. Working for George Bush means you've been part of Washington. Working for a judge, the Supreme Court of the United States of America, means you've been part of the establishment. You're Washington. You've been working there, arguing cases in the Supreme Court. That's establishment. You've been there. You've been to this place that you're saying that you're new to. You're not. When your wife works for Goldman Sachs, every single one of these people are established. Establishment, established. The only person that's not is Donald Trump and Ben Carson. Carly Fiorina is part of the establishment. Why? She ran for Senate. She was part of that system. Establishment means you are at a place. A day, an hour, a year. The National Review is the establishment. The National Review is the establishment. Eric Erickson is the establishment. Cal Thomas. Cal Thomas has been around for 90 years. Charles Cook. These are the establishments. Lowry, the editor, establishment. They have been around for years. When Sarah Palin said Democrats would never do this, she's 100% right. You would never, ever, ever see Rachel Maddow, Chris Matthews, Anderson Cooper, Don Lemon. You would never see any of them say Bernie Sanders is dangerous. Bernie Sanders is a socialist. Bernie Sanders is horrible. He's evil. If he were to get the nomination, he would destroy. You would never hear that. You would never, ever hear that. BuzzFeed, Politico, Huffington Post, every liberal rag there is would never, ever make a collective effort and tell everybody how horrible Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton are. Never, ever. The writers, Jonathan Capehart, Eugene Robbins, that Harwood, the debate moderator for the Republicans that was horrible. These are all opinion writers. These are all opinion writers for the Washington Post and every other liberal garbage rag that's out there. You would never, ever see them devote pages and pages and pages. Everybody that Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton are horrible, disgusting, vile. You would never, ever see that. You would never see that. The piece might be a little biased. Sure. But it would never be scathing. Would never be an indictment of this candidate, Hillary or Bernie, being just the beast incarnate. It would never, ever happen. But we're seeing it now with the Republicans. They have no idea what the hell is going on. You got the second biggest Republican talk show host having his stepson work for Ted Cruz. You have them two attacking Trump, saying he's establishment, he's establishment, he's establishment. You got the other half of the Republican Party devoting magazines saying Donald Trump is not establishment, is not establishment. He's not a conservative. He's not a Republican. He's just an a-hole. And you have tens of thousands of people that show up to rally to whatever for Donald Trump. Tens of thousands. Well, Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio, they get 5 people. 10 people. They show up to a town hall event. There's 11 people there. And Republicans are doing everything they can to destroy the rock star that they've been given. The Mean Girls Club. The Cool Kids Table. Has officially said to Trump, you're not welcome. It's amazing. Absolutely.